The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Today FM.
Okay, let me briefly tell you a little bit about my COVID and the reason why I'm going to talk about it. I'm doubly vaccinated and I thought I was being very careful in all of my behaviours, and yet I have it, and I've had it for over a week now. I actually had it last week when I was presenting the programme from Monday through to Thursday, doing it here from my home, getting progressively worse until I realised during Thursday's programme, I need to take a break, I need to try and get this killed off. And it has taken a long time and I'm still not feeling entirely 100% yet, I have to admit. It's perfectly obtained proof that the vaccine isn't some sort of magic prophylactic that would have prevented me getting the illness. But at the same time, well, look, it wasn't that bad in the sense that there was never even the possibility of requiring hospitalisation or anything like that, as has happened to so many other people. It still has given me cause for thought about the way we perhaps are going to have to behave ourselves over the winter months in particular, even with everybody vaccinated, because it isn't pleasant. My breathing is still quite bad. I did have headaches. I've been finding it very hard to retain whatever food I eat, which means I've lost quite a bit of weight over the last week. Energy levels have dropped accordingly. And even if I walk around the room here where I've been restricting myself to, it's like my breathing is like if I'd run a 100 meter sprint. And yet it's got me thinking as well, how much worse would it have been if I had not been fully vaccinated? Kingston Mills is an expert in this area. Thank you very much, Professor of Experimental Immunology at Trinity College Dublin. I knew, and I suppose most people knew, that the vaccination did not make you immune. So what benefit do you reckon does it give most people to be vaccinated?
Good afternoon, Matt, and I do hope you're feeling better or will soon. The first thing to say is the vaccine is not 100% effective, and they struggle when the viruses change, they mutate. So in terms of protecting against the original Wuhan strain, all the vaccines are highly effective, 95% for the mRNA vaccines and a bit lower for the adenovirus vector vaccines. But against the alpha and then the beta and the delta variants, that drops off. So, you know, most of the circulating strains in Ireland now are Delta. So it's the virus is more difficult to neutralize by the antibodies that are made by the vaccine. So some people will not make strong enough antibodies to protect themselves. And that's why some people can get infected even though they've been vaccinated. Now, most of those people will not end up in hospital because it does have some level of protection, even though it's not protecting completely against infection. And that's, that happens in a proportion of individuals. And we've been told that around 20% of all the cases currently are vaccine breakthroughs.
Is that a significant amount, though, the 20%?
It is. I mean, if you look at the numbers we're having daily of 1,200 or 1,400, and 20% of that is over 200 cases a day in vaccine breakthroughs. So it is a significant number, but it's in par in line with the efficacy of the vaccines against the Delta variant. And the important point to stress again is that the numbers in hospitals are now decreasing, and they've never reached the levels anything like that they were in the second or third wave. So the vaccines really are very effective at stopping severe disease. And that is the most important point about the beneficial effects of the vaccines.
But still, do people have to retain still a certain degree of caution as to their behaviour? Because we are in a situation where we're trying to return to normal. And I have to admit, I was doing things, I suppose, that you might have regarded or might be regarded as a risk. Went to the All-Ireland hurling final to see Cork getting thumped by Limerick. Took a foreign holiday in August because just felt the need, got on a flight, went with the family, went on holidays. Now, that was quite a while back, did not bring about what's happening to me now. I can't for the life of me work out where it is I might have picked up this. I know it wasn't, for example, getting on a bus, because since the buses went back to 100%, capacity, I haven't been getting the bus. So are people going to have to be very, very careful still in relation to mask wearing, where they go, social distancing, hand washing, all of those type of things?
I'm afraid so. I mean, we're not completely out of the woods yet. I mean, we have still got the second highest number of cases per million in Europe after the UK. So we're and Northern Ireland, you can see, is even worse positioned than we are, maybe two or three times worse in terms of number of cases per 100,000. Now, a lot of those cases, 60%, in fact, of the cases in Ireland right now are in the under 35s. And the highest cohort, the age group that the highest number of cases in is actually the 5 to 12-year-olds. 18% in the last 2 weeks of all the cases are in the 5 to 12s. So the virus is very much now in the younger population and the unvaccinated and the small number of people like yourself who have been vaccinated, who have been unfortunate enough to get what's called a vaccine breakthrough. So that's where we are at. And, you know, if we hadn't got the vaccines, you'd have to ask the question, where would we be now with the easing restrictions? And I think the answer is very clear. We'd have tens of thousands of cases and the hospitals would be overrun. That's for sure. So we really have had a huge benefit of the vaccine program, even though some unfortunate people like yourself have had the infection after getting vaccinated.
Is there also an argument, though, that we should be using increased antigen testing, particularly for school children? Because, and again, I'll speak a little bit about what's happening here. I have my youngest fellow who is in secondary school, had only been partially vaccinated. He was due to have his second shot. He is now off school while I'm in self-isolation, even though he's passed his PCR test. No antigen test has come up positive for him. He's perfectly well, not a thing wrong with him. And he's stuck in his room as well, along with about 14,000 school children, I think, at present. Is that the right thing for them to be off school?
You know, there's a huge debate about this, whether, you know, the children in primary schools should be, you know, made to isolate if they're contacts of known cases. There's absolutely no doubt that the number of cases in primary schools is going to increase. I'm a great advocate of antigen testing as part of the Ferguson group that advocated it and wrote a report on the huge benefits of it. They've been doing it in the UK in schools to significant advantage. I think there's a strong case to be, and the universities, of course, and I'm involved with that here in Trinity, have in place testing programs, not just with antigen testing, but also this other test called a LAMP test, which can pick up people, particularly when they're infectious. I mean, these tests are not as sensitive as PCR testing, but they do pick up most people in the infectious phase. That is when they can pass it on to others. And that's really what you want to do. You want to find people when they're infectious and then get them tested and then have the test confirmed by PCR if it is positive. So they have a huge benefit in many, many settings. In the workforce, in schools, universities, and in events, going to the hurling and rugby and football matches. So I think we've missed a trick with these events. I think we should have been using the vaccine certs, but combining that with negative antigen tests. And if you had somebody that was either fully vaccinated, okay, there are the breakthroughs, but the vast majority will not be, and then combine that with a rapid antigen tests prior to events, we could make those events much safer.
Lots of messages coming in to 0874 100 102. One listener says, doesn't this just demonstrate that it's far more important to rely on antigen or PCR testing to ensure that those who are infected are not walking around? A vaccine protects you but not anyone else. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, the vaccine protects the whole community when you get it up to a high enough level. So at the end of the day, the vaccine is actually more effective than all the other measures, including mask wearing and isolation, etc. I mean, it's collectively the measures that are going to work best. So when you have a combination of vaccination, social distancing, wearing masks and testing, all of that will help and has been helping to reduce the numbers of cases. And what we're seeing now, as I said already, is really the cases are dominantly in the younger age groups that either can't be vaccinated or haven't yet been vaccinated, or in people in the older groups that choose for whatever reason not to be vaccinated.
I got the vaccine. I was keen to get the vaccination on the basis that I have a couple of underlying conditions, which I don't mind mentioning. I'm asthmatic. I'm also type 2 diabetic. A listener wants to know, has the vaccine system made your own immune system weak? Would it have made my immune system weak, Kingston?
No, in a word. It is extremely unlikely that that's the case. I mean, if people have underlying conditions, and particularly if they're on therapies for their underlying conditions that involve suppressing the immune system, it means then that they're less likely to respond to the vaccine. So any sort of immunosuppressive therapy, whether it be steroids or drugs that suppress the immune response, they can make it more difficult for the immune system to respond to the vaccine. So people then won't make as strong an antibody response and are less likely to be protected than somebody who's not on those drugs. Or, for example, someone who has cancer, is on chemotherapy, radiotherapy, or is very old. So the very older people, the immune system sort of declines in its effectiveness as we age, and they don't respond as well. And that's why we're seeing vaccine breakthroughs and cases in nursing homes, and that's why nursing home residents are now going to be boosted with a third shot, as are the over 80s.
Okay, lots more messages coming in. My granddaughter, who is 12, has an antigen test every Monday morning in school before the school day starts, as do all children in the UK. Reese says, I went to Amsterdam over the weekend, little to no restrictions, masks worn in public transport and that's it, full capacity everywhere else. For the 3 days I was there, I felt normal again. Came back to here yesterday and back to these ridiculous restrictions again. Didn't even need to prove vaccination on arrival or departure from there. Get the place opened up and live with it. But another listener said my wife had it and was double jabbed, but she was in bed for 5 days and was really sick with it. Definitely would have been in hospital if it hadn't been for the vaccine. Thankfully, she's on the mend now, but it was no joke, even with the vaccine. Can't see why some people would not get the vaccine. Utter madness. And John in Newbridge says, and thank you for this, I do hope you're on the way to a good recovery. There's significant evidence of slippage because I see people not sanitising hands going into premises. Sanitising stations are empty at entrances. There's less mask wearing. The messages need to be reinforced. Well, one final thing to you, Professor Kingston Mills. What about the forthcoming flu season? We didn't have one last year. As people are now mixing again in greater numbers, and if they're not wearing masks, particularly in indoor situations, could we have a serious flu situation, or is that something to worry about?
I don't think it's something to worry about just yet, but I think it is sufficiently of concern that it might happen to merit having the flu vaccine. And I think what's going to happen is that the flu vaccine is going to be offered around the same time as a booster of the COVID vaccine. So for people at this moment in time, it's only the over 80s and the over 65s in nursing homes that are going to be boosted. But I anticipate later we will see boosters given at the same time as the flu vaccine. And remember, the companies have already going to the regulatory agencies looking for approval for the booster shots, but they can be given off-label to people, and that's the way they're going to be administered initially, but they will eventually be approved by the EMA. So I think we're going to see this, you know, that the vaccine for flu and the vaccine for COVID will become a seasonal immunization that everybody will be offered.
Professor Kingston Mills, Professor of Experimental Immunology at Trinity College Dublin, thank you for joining us. Another listener says, antigen testing has not been a success in the UK. Professor Andrew Pollard, the head of the Oxford Vaccine Group, told the House of Commons that school antigen testing only served to disrupt education further. More vaccination for the under-12s, please, says that listener.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.